been listening to Ion Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Ion Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.
52 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you on board the Celebrity Millennium, sailing between St. Martin, Barbados, and many other islands in the Caribbean, the first American cruise ship carrying American passengers in the Western Hemisphere. Lots of stuff to talk about, and we'll be continuing to talk about that throughout the show. Of course, you can always reach out to me. Email me to peter at petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. Let's do that right now. Here's an email from Pat, who says, we have a river cruise in Portugal in August. I understand about all the COVID testing required 3 days before at the airport when we land, then before we go back to the U.S., the last three at our expense. If our flight to Lisbon has a stopover in Frankfurt, do we get tested there as well? Well, Pat, you didn't define the word stopover. If your flight is transiting Frankfurt, the answer is no. You never leave the airport, and you just go right to your departing gate on your connecting flight. If you're stopping over in Frankfurt, the folks in Germany may want to see your same test that you did to get into the airport to begin with. So you may not have to do a separate test, but you may have to show the results, okay? But for those people listening, if you're in transit at almost every airport in the world, you're not required to be tested again. You're in a sterile area, and you just continue moving on to your connecting flight. But remember, you still have to perform to the regulations at your arrival airport of choice. Okay, here's one from Tom, who says, my daughter is flying to Kenya at the end of this week. What test for COVID does she have to obtain to enter the country and to fly on the airlines? We checked with Kenya. They want a 3-day in advance COVID-19 test that you'll show at the airport before you ever get on the flight. However, get ready to be tested once you get there. And of course, don't forget the U.S. regulation that you have to show a negative COVID test 3 days before, within 72 hours of your return trip back to the United States. Okay, here's one from Mary who writes, we're planning a trip to Italy in May of 2022. When's the best time to book airfares? The answer, not now. Remember, the airlines have had a problem. And the problem is all their algorithms that they've been using over the last couple of years to project demand and basically set pricing is failed. It's fallen apart. That model is over. That's why we had so many crazy airfares at the beginning of this year when nobody was traveling. And they're going to set airfares now based on what they think people did in 2019. So they're not real, especially if you're looking at 2022. My guess is if you're going there in May of 2022, you want to look around the first week of January of 2022 and then another 54 days out from your flight. That's when you're going to see the fares adjusted based on the real demand, not the projected demand. And because it's in May, they're not going to go up that high. The real fares kick in end of June through the end of August. So you're in a great position, but not now. Whatever you do, do not book it now. Wait. All right. You'll be satisfied that you will. A lot of you have been writing and asking about the opening of the EU countries, and it's happening rapidly, right? France opened up this week. Spain opened up this week. The UK is about to announce an August 1 opening, which will be reciprocated by the US. I've been talking about that for a number of weeks now, so get ready for that. And remember, the minute the UK opens up, Canada cannot stay as a sole hand, you know, holdout. The revenue problems here that they're going to be facing are staggering, and they can't go without another summer of no revenue. Remember, we have morphed from a public health issue to an economic one. And it's more based on the decisions to open are based more on the vaccine levels of the people who want to visit than it is on the people who have been vaccinated in those countries themselves. So get ready for some serious changes. Now, you've also written me about the credit vouchers and the vouchers that are supposedly expiring at any minute. Most U.S. airlines have extended those voucher expiration dates till the end of this year, some even until the beginning of 2022. But that doesn't take away from the fact that so many of you are given vouchers you're not going to be able to use anyway because you were planning trips last year for family reunions or weddings or birthdays that have long since passed and are no longer relevant. Get ready. We're going to see some movement. Remember, we talked to both U.S. Senators Markey and Blumenthal about their letters to the presidents and CEOs of U.S. airlines talking about the need for them to refund your money. We have a very active pro-consumer U.S. Department of Transportation now. I would be looking for an enforcement action in the next 2 months, so stay tuned. You may actually get your money back. And for those of you who don't want your money back, I get that too, but it should be always your choice. make sure you get a phone call into the airline, the hotel, the cruise line, or the tour operator to negotiate an extension of the validity of that voucher, because the last thing you want it to do is expire. The real problem, of course, is fare changes, right? It's one thing to get a voucher for the amount of the ticket that you purchased on a flight that you wanted back in 2020. But if all of a sudden the price of the ticket for the one you want to take this year or next year is $300 more, remember, you're going to have to pay the difference, not what you expected to do. There should be another way to deal with this. Right now, there isn't. But again, I'm looking for the U.S. Department of Transportation to take an enforcement action. A lot of these cases are still in the courts. There's still a class action suit against a number of airlines for refusing to refund money. Things are going to change. Just be patient. But keep your records. Keep documents of the first and last name of the people you talk to, their title. And most importantly, have a conversation with the travel provider to, at the very least, negotiate an extension without conditions of the terms of the voucher that you were given. Otherwise, you're not being proactive, and you know what happens when you're reactive. It's not a lot of fun. All right, you got that? Good. We're out of time for this hour. Stick around. We got a whole lot more coming from the Celebrity Millennium, and when we return, the Prime Minister of Barbados, the Honorable Mia Motley, right after this.
You've been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production. Been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.
52 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here on board the Celebrity Millennium, sailing between St. Martin, then Barbados, Aruba, Curacao on a 7-day home-ported cruise out of St. Martin, the first U.S. cruise ship taking American passengers in the Western Hemisphere in the last 15 months. A test cruise, if you will. 1/3 the capacity in terms of passengers. A 2-to-1 staff-to-guest ratio for the cruise itself, which is not bad. And all sorts of new protocols in place and seemingly working. Of course, you can always reach me. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number. Question or problem, we'll solve it right here on the air. Let me tell you about one of my problems. It's a problem that happened way before the pandemic. It's a problem that's happening again now. And the question we always have to ask is, now that the world is emerging from COVID-19, are the airlines, are the travel providers, are the governments going back to pre-pandemic bad behavior? I'm sad to report that in many cases the answer is yes, they are. Yes, they are. Let's talk about our friends at the TSA. All right, we know that the numbers are going up every day. We see those reports. You know, they're scanning at least, 1.8 million Americans every day now. Not 2019 levels, but but a huge increase over what happened last year. The TSA is saying now it needs 6,000 new officers to meet skyrocketing travel demand. Really? They weren't prepared for this? But it's even worse, because those 6,000 new officers are not on board yet. But let's talk about when they were on board and their behavior then. What was the TSA doing? They were still closing off security checkpoints. They were even closing off pre-check, which people pay for in order to get a more efficient security experience. And what is the TSA doing now? The exact same thing. And the real interesting thing is, at a given 24-hour clock cycle, when are they doing it? They're doing it at the worst possible time, between 6 and 8 in the morning, and 4 and 6 in the evening, the two push times at almost every airport in the United States. That's when they're closing off the security checkpoints, and that's when they're closing off even the pre-check checkpoints. It's ridiculous. Now it gets even crazier. And that's this. Even if they don't close off the checkpoints, the lines are getting longer. Why? Because of the time they're using and the time they're choosing to train new agents. Now, I'm all in favor of training. You're not going to get an argument from me against that. But the question is, when do you train your agents? Do you train them between 6 and 8 in the morning during a peak time, or between 4 and 6 in the afternoon, which is a peak time? No. Train them at 11 o'clock in the morning or 2 in the afternoon when you have the time and you don't have the crowds, so you can properly train them without inconveniencing the rest of the world. So, here's my advice to all of you. And by the way, this is not advice that's new. It's the same advice I would have given you pre-pandemic, but I was hoping I wouldn't have to give it again. Now I do. When you get to a security checkpoint, or you have numerous security checkpoints in a terminal, which one do you choose? Most of you would say, oh, I'd look for the shortest line. And that, believe it or not, counterintuitively would be incorrect. Why? Because of what I just told you about TSA and training. What you do is, you don't look for the length of the line. Forget that. You look for how many TSA agents are looking at the security monitor as the baggage goes through that conveyor belt. Now, if there's one TSA agent doing it, I don't care how long that line is, pick that line. It's going to move. But if you see two agents looking at that monitor, that means they're training one of them, and every bag's going to get stuck for at least a minute and a half while they try to figure out what's in your bag. And you know how that works out? If you start estimating a minute and a half per bag, you just missed your flight. It's that crazy. And there's no common sense here. Again, I'm all in favor of training agents. Otherwise, why have them? But why would you train them in the midst of the chaos between 6 and 8 in the morning or 4 to 6 in the afternoon? It makes no sense. And for people who paid for PreCheck, can we ask the TSA to be at least a little entrepreneurial and operate it as a business? Right? We paid for the service. We're not getting it. How about our refund for that? So I'm not trying to dump on the TSA. I'm trying to dump on the TSA leadership that allows this to happen. The agents who work for the TSA are hardworking, they're dedicated, they're doing the best they can, but they can do better if they're given better direction from the people at the top. Again, it's not rocket science here. Look at your numbers. You know where the flow. There are no surprises here. The airlines didn't just announce tomorrow, oh, we're all going to take off between 6 and 8 in the morning. They've done that for 40 years. So get with it, folks. Otherwise, the TSA will go back to meaning what the TSA used to mean in my book, thousands standing around. And this is not what we had in mind. Again, I'm pro-security, but I'm really pro-intelligence. And the two are not mutually exclusive, even though it seems to be that way right now. All right, remember, don't choose the shortest line. Choose the line that doesn't have two agents looking at the monitor. And if you do that, you're going to have a smoother operation at the airport. It's as simple as that. And the other thing is this. Don't put everything in your pocket that you've had in there since 1947 before going through security. Let's get real here. You can dress after you clear security. In fact, in my estimation, we should all show up at the airport naked. It won't be pretty. In fact, it'll be ugly, but those lines will move a whole lot faster. All right, that's it. We're out of time for this hour. Stick around, everybody. When we come back, more from the Celebrity Millennium as we return to Eye on Travel. Back right after this.
You've been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.